you work for a living? Why do you kill yourself working?
Interesting, thought-provoking, and sometimes a bit controversial. Coming to you from America's beautiful Pacific Northwest, USA, it's The Ernest Mann Show. If you're like most of us these days and find yourself financially challenged, which is a soft and indirect way of saying you're fucking broke, this will help save your ass by saving your car. Now, what I'm about to tell you, the advice that I want to give you, it may sound a bit unorthodox. For some of you, it may sound very simple and straightforward, but apparently to many people, it just seems strange. Now, I don't know if this is due to a generational thing or what. I don't know. But what I do know is this. The squeaky wheel gets greased, and it doesn't matter if it's on a car or in your personal life. Life is not going to come to you. You have to grab the bull by the horns, so to speak, and make these things that you need manifest. And there's no difference when it comes to your car. Now, you think about it, of course, most of us depend on our cars, certainly for our livelihood, because, well, most of us have to go to work. And if you don't have a functional car, you can't do that. And if you can't do that, well, you're not going to be employed very long. So it's another stressor of modern day life. But what most people do is, as soon as something goes wrong with their car, they have been conditioned to take it to their authorized service center and pay, you know, $150 to have a $1 light bulb changed in their car. It's that bad. This was not always the case, and I don't want to go into the history of this ridiculousness, but by comparison, the cars that were made in the 90s are actually legendary in their dependability compared to the cars made today, if you want to even call them that. I have a different name for them. Some of them pleasant, some of them not, but I call it the continual contractual agreement with auto repair shops and or the dealer. So what this is going to require as a bedrock is you have to establish a relationship with a mechanic. Now, I'm not talking about the mechanic necessarily who works at the dealership, or it might not even be a mechanic that works at a well-established auto repair facility. I'm talking about the human behind all of that. I'm talking about an actual mechanic. Now, the way this happens may seem, again, strange or unorthodox. I don't know why that is. There's nothing strange or unorthodox about it, but I'm going to walk you through this, especially for any of you youngins out there, and explain how this works. It's important to understand, if you have this preconceived notion, that what I'm telling you is not rude or offensive. It's called something that people, humans, used to do all the time: talking. You're going to have to talk to people at every opportunity to get what you need in life. That is a fact of life. It's not going to be on the internet. And one of those things is, well, a mechanic. So let me give you a scenario of how this works. You're in some public place, such as, a bar, let's say. And somehow you strike up a conversation with some guy at the bar. And so naturally, of course, again, assuming you're not timid, you casually say, "Hey, what do you do for a living?" And he says to you, "I'm a mechanic." He might ask you what you do, and you may say, "Oh, well, I'm a computer guy. I fix computers," or whatever the case may be. So what you've established there is your first potential of someone reliable and affordable to fix your car. Depending on how the situation goes and the conversation goes, you might add, "Do you work for a big dealership, or do you work for a big shop somewhere?" And depending on what is said, they may say, "Well, I work for a dealership." And it's like, okay. And then the next question might be, "Do you do any work on the side?" And if they say yes, then that is the potential beginning of a potentially wonderful relationship. One of the things I consider essential to have in your life, besides a friend who is also an attorney, is an auto mechanic. A good one, an honest one, actually someone you may on some level develop a friendship with. And what this means is you may be able to get your car repaired for at least one third to maybe even one half the cost of a dealership. There is absolutely nothing more important to have in your life. Well, except sex. But besides that, a good auto mechanic ready to, fix your car. And so I just gave you a scenario. And what that means is that you can potentially get that car fixed for a hell of a lot less. But also, potentially, you can barter this out so that there's no actual cash other than parts that you would have to pay this person if you have a skill or something they can use as an exchange. And the point about this, of course, again, is all about saving money. And there shouldn't be any reason why you wouldn't want to do that. You see, as the economy continues to spiral down the drain, and it will continue to spiral down the drain, this is going to be a necessity of life. Basically, what amounts to an underground economy, which I've talked about ad nauseum. You're going to have to learn how to deal with things on that level and or straight up barter. And if you are terribly concerned about the legality of it, well, therein lies the problem in and of itself, because that's what got us in this situation in the first place. Everyone being constantly and obsessively concerned about the law and rules. And if you continue to live your life that way, well, you might as well be in a fucking gulag in Russia in the 1940s. And despite what's been said about the Soviet years, the Soviet Union was never really a communist country or socialist for that matter. It was what it was, and that was a dictatorship. They're vastly different things. So if you're understanding that and you're understanding, that, hey, they're trying to, are you aware that they're trying to make, get this, ready for this, working on your own car illegal? I'm not kidding. It's a thing. So if that doesn't even slightly ring of being dictatorial to you, gee, I simply don't know what to say. But at any rate, continuing on with this, you've got to get a mechanic. You check them out. You maybe hire them for a small job. You do this incrementally because not only are you checking out their abilities and seeing that, you know, they basically say and do what they're going to do, you're building a relationship is what you're doing. And that's built on, well, mutual aid and trust. And that's essential to any human interaction. And so once that is established, the main thing that you want to do is when you supply the parts, don't go cheap on the parts. If it's a Toyota, for instance, buy Toyota parts. And the next choice I would say with something of that caliber is to get parts from Denso. They are a quality manufacturer of parts, but don't just run down to your local discount parts, auto parts store and get the cheapest thing on the shelf. It will only more than likely bring misery down the road. So once you have a source of good parts and you have a reliable person that can fix your car at a substantially lower rate, you're in good shape. I mean, if you have the means and you have a second car, then you can slowly rebuild the other car so that you're never down from having a car. But even the absolute best cars, and I'm not here to go into the best brands and what to avoid and what not to avoid. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to understand the absolute necessity of talking to people, or what's currently known as networking. Gotta hate that phrase. But anyway, yeah, it's about talking to people, and you can apply this same thing to just about anything. It doesn't have to be an auto mechanic. Maybe it's a guy that can rebuild computers or whatever the hell it is. But this specifically is geared people who want to or need to do this underground economy so they can live. Because, you know, if you don't, you're going to be up shit's creek because, you know, all the companies and all the powers that be out there, they don't care if you're being, you know, charged 50 times more at a certain car dealer or whatnot for a car repair. They're not going to care about all that. When the rent comes due, and I include a mortgage payment as rent because, well, basically that's what it is, none of that matters. I mean, they don't care. When they come to the door, proverbially speaking, wanting the rent, whoever it is, they don't care if you blow goats for a living to get the fucking money. It's just, do you have the money? So if you want to have the money, you're going to have to find other means to do that. And one of them is by saving money. And the way to do that is as I just described. So yeah, the newer cars, everything in particular since, I don't know, 2008, 2010-ish particularly, have increasingly been designed to be not only repair dependent, but they want to nail and pigeonhole you down to service centers. So in other words, it's another thing of constantly keeping you in debt and bleeding you dry and keeping your ability to move forward very low by taking all of your money they possibly can at all times. And that's what it is, right, wrong, or whatever you wish to call it, but that's what the hell it is. So, bearing that in mind, talk to people, make friends, and if you really want to get more information, talk to me. I'm here. I am a resource. Just waiting for you to reach out to me. And I can talk to you. I can help you with finding just about anything for that matter. And, you know, it's about making connections. I can't help you in the blowing goats department. That's something I don't do. Until next time, this is Ernest, and that's all I've got for today.